What is up, folks, and welcome to another awesome edition of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast, the podcast that brings to you everything you need to know in the world of pro wrestling. Anyway, we weren't around last week and we missed all of you guys, so we're back this week to bring you an awesome show, action-packed, jam-packed to the rafters of all the goings-on and everything we missed last week. So please join us for an excellent edition of World of Trios. But before we do that, we'd like to pay homage to two legends who passed away this past week. Firstly, the absolute legend known as Brian Christopher, aka Grandmaster Sexay of Too Cool, and last but not least, the 80s heel legend Nikolai Volkov. Both men had a tremendous impact on the wrestling industry, and they had a tremendous impact on Sam and myself. So this show is dedicated to them. World of Trios. All right, folks, and welcome to World of Trios. This week we are in partnership with Win Column Sports Network. So it's me and Sam finally back together. How you doing, man?
I'm doing absolutely spectacular. Thank you very much. How are you?
Spectacular. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Thank you very much, man. Are you ready to talk some wrestling? It feels like it's been a while.
Oh, it's been too long. Yeah, let's do it.
Top three things we missed last week.
First of all, we're going to catch up on the top three things that we missed from the past week. So the first thing I want to talk about is Slammiversary. So that is Impact's, well, it's almost Impact WrestleMania, isn't it? So
it is.
They had a fantastic out in here. It was a great show. It was an absolutely loaded card as well. You had a really heavy top end of the show with matches like Moose versus Austin Aries. I think we previously mentioned the match between Sami Callihan and Pentagon Jr., the mask versus hair match. And also we had some other cool matches like LAX versus the original LAX. Did you get to see much of this pay-per-view, Sam?
I have seen the Austin Aries versus Moose.
That was a cool match, man. I mean, considering I've not been the biggest fan of Moose, to be fair. He's not really kind of caught on with me, but he really sold himself in this match. He went hell for leather with someone like Austin Aries, who is just reputable for being able to just go for ages, put on great technical, even sometimes high-flying matches, and he really held his own here.
Given the chance, I think Austin Aries could be easily up there with AJ Styles as one of the greatest wrestlers in the world at the minute. You know, he's got the experience, he's been here, there and everywhere, he's done everything, he's done it all, and he can wrestle with anyone. So you look at somebody like Moose, you know, not the greatest technical wrestler of all time, put him with Austin Aries and you've just got a guaranteed fantastic match.
Considering the fact that he was kind of underutilized in WWE in the 205 Live kind of scene, I mean, 205 Live right now is on fire, but when Austin Aries was kind of back there, it was more the Enzo Amore scene, wasn't it?
If Austin Aries would have stuck it out, I think he could have really, really like raised the profile of 205.
Hell yeah, man. And it wasn't just those guys that put on an amazing match. We finally got to see that match between Sami Callihan and Pentagon Jr. And they really didn't hold back here. I mean, it was an all-out bloody warfare match with OVE getting involved, as well as Phoenix and Rich Swann, I believe. And it was just, it was exactly what you expected from the build to this match. I mean, we've discussed the build to this match for quite a few weeks. It's been a bloody build. So the match wasn't going to be anything less than that, really. And yeah, I think it was just something different. The stipulation itself, the mask versus hair, added something kind of fresh.
I mean, this match, it reminds me more like of some of the matches you see in ECW.
Yeah.
This was extreme.
Hell yeah, man.
But in the best way. It's not extreme in the way that, oh, let's just smash each other in the face with weapons all the way through. The psychology of the match and everything was just fantastic. I mean, it shows that both Pentagon and Sami Callihan are almost both indestructible.
When you're talking about people that are hated in wrestling, as well as people like Tommaso Ciampa, Sami Callihan. He's really up there, isn't he? I can't stand the guy. He looks greasy. He talks a dirty game. It's just,
at the end of the match, he didn't hold up his end of the bargain and tried to run away.
Yep, classic heel move there, classic. I mean, that would have fitted in any kind of old school WWE match, the heel running away. As well as the rest of the matches on the card, Slammiversary really demonstrated what the future is for Impact Wrestling, I think, and I think it's a bright future.
I think, no pun intended, but this really is the turning point for Impact. I think they can finally sort of move away from the the TNA stigma and become their own brand as Impact. I know me personally, as I will always refer to them as Impact now. You know, in weeks gone by, I've always referred to them as TNA, whether it was Impact or whether it was GFW or whatever it was. But now I think that they're sort of starting to make people realise that this is Impact Wrestling. This isn't TNA.
I couldn't agree more, man. I couldn't agree more. And yeah, moving along onto the second point, the first ever all-female pay-per-view, WWE Evolution. I mean, it feels like they've been building up to something like this for quite a while. How do you see this panning out, man?
I'm really excited, and I just hope that it's done right. And I feel like this could be the point where we finally get to see Sasha versus Bayley.
Yeah.
Although, today I've read something about Sasha versus Lita.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did hear a lot about bringing veterans back. So yeah, whether it's going to be kind of like feature matches with older performers, a bit of a mix of that, I really don't know. Who would you like to see appearing at this pay-per-view? Give me some names.
Do you know what? I'd like to see Molly Holly again, and I want to see her have a better chance than she had in the Women's Royal Rumble.
I think she looked great in that Royal Rumble, man. Out of all of the veterans, she looked like she kind of still had it together the most. You know, she wasn't just in for like 5 minutes. She really had a good go. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there a date for this yet, or is it not announced yet?
I think it's October time, right?
And is the Mae Young Classic before or after that?
I think the way you're heading is, you know, will some of the newer stars be featured in this pay-per-view? Is that the direction you kind of...
And it's quite strange as well, because you mentioned Madison Rayne's return at Slammiversary.
Yep.
And now Madison Rayne's been announced for the Mae Young Classic.
Wow, that's something. So she's kind of doing the dual Impact WWE thing, or...?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a full report of this on Win Column's website. It's pretty shocking stuff, isn't it, really? She's just sort of like gone, yep, yeah, I'm off. I think people like Madison Rayne could be involved. You've obviously got all your main, you know, your Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, everybody like that. And then I think you've got to consider some of the NXT women as well, like
of course.
Bianca Belair and Nikki Cross. Obviously, Shayna Baszler's got to be involved in some way.
Well, with NXT being the kind of program that can only really feature one female feud in the spotlight at one time, it'd be good to feature some of those kind of peripheral female characters on this show.
It'd be nice to have a full cross-promotion of Raw, SmackDown and NXT, I think, for this.
Yeah, of course. The final question I've got to ask you on this one is, do you feel it'll be a one-off, or do you think it's going to be a regular thing?
I think they'll probably wait and see what kind of response they get before they decide that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the way I'm thinking as well.
Yeah, I mean, it could... I don't want it to be a disaster in the slightest, but it's a brand new thing. It's an entirely new venture that clearly has come off the back of this big kind of Greatest Royal Rumble fiasco where no ladies were allowed over there. So they feel like this is their chance to demonstrate why the women on the roster deserve that position. And they certainly do. So, yeah, fingers crossed for that one, man.
I've got a question for you about this one.
Okay.
As well, just a quick one. What do you think of the name Evolution?
It's kind of odd, because obviously that's the name of a stable that existed about 15 years ago.
All I keep thinking is I just keep hearing Lemmy's voice in my head every time I name Evolution.
That would be absolutely killer if it was the theme tune, or that. I highly doubt that's going to happen. But yeah, man. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Evolution. It's a strange one, because we've had NXT pay-per-views kind of similarly named to that as well.
Yeah.
But
I think maybe Revolution may have been a better choice of name.
Well, considering that was the whole movement, the Divas Revolution, then... I guess if they feel it fits, we know what WWE are like with pay-per-view names. We've had Great Balls of Fire, for God's sake. So, the third and final thing I want to mention is something that happened on NXT. And it's not just something that happened, it's a huge event that happened.
Huge!
So, yeah, last week on NXT, in a shocking turn of events, Tommaso Ciampa picked up a victory over Aleister Black. Now, it was a really cheap victory, because obviously Johnny Gargano accidentally cost Aleister Black the match, which will inevitably lead to kind of mix-ups between the three, I think, in terms of feuds. What do you think of this moment?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. There's one thing that really ruined this for me, and it was the fact that it was all announced beforehand.
Yeah, they're really not doing a great job, are they?
Yeah, I wish this was kept secret.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just WWE. All sort of like news sites and dirt sheets and everything had just splattered this all over Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
There was no escaping it.
It's something else when that kind of thing happens, because it's not just the whole Mark talk of kayfabe is dead. It's the, you know that NXT is taped. It's almost as bad as when WCW was spoiling WWE's results back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have really preferred for that moment to be something that I could have just savored and gone, oh my God. You know, like looking at the people in the audience, they were there. They were like, oh, I didn't see this happening at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking away anything from the match because I thought it was brilliant. I thought both guys put on an awesome performance, as always. And I liked the Johnny Gargano spot, and I thought that was... It's more ingenious writing on NXT again. But yeah, I really would have liked to have been like, oh my God!
Yeah, I think we all would. But I can only agree with you in saying that the story writing here is so fluid, and they're keeping it going in ways that I don't think WWE's main roster writers could even dream of. I mean, how are they managing to extend this feud in such a clever way, involving someone else that is also red hot at the moment? It's fantastic. And we're going to speak about this a little bit later.
Genius stuff.
But yeah, it was a shocking moment. I think it's something that'll go down in NXT history as a shocking moment. And as I said, we're going to talk about the aftermath a little bit later on.
The good.
All right, folks, welcome back, and we're going to talk about our top three moments in pro wrestling this week. Now, first up, I want to talk Brock Lesnar, and maybe that's not always a good thing to bring up, but I feel like Raw's been a little lackluster recently. SmackDown's been the A show, as far as I'm concerned, as well as NXT. But this week's Raw featured a moment that kind of sparked a bit of attention, I think. I don't know if you'd agree, dude, the Brock Lesnar moment, shall we call it. So we've got Brock Lesnar, he's at Raw, and he's reading a magazine backstage. Paul Heyman's kind of pathetically begging him to go out because both of their jobs are on the line. Meanwhile, we get Roman Reigns cutting his traditional, now vintage, Brock Lesnar promo, where he's kind of saying, oh, you know, I'll send him packing back to UFC. He doesn't dare come out and face me. Later in the evening, though, we get Kurt Angle in the ring, and he's asking Brock to come out. Heyman comes out and says Brock isn't coming. So what happens to Heyman? He gets fired. This brings Brock out, of course. Angle gets an F5 for obviously firing his manager. But then, in a strange turn of events, Brock turns on Paul Heyman. What do you think of this whole deal, dude?
It's such a strange thing. When Brock Lesnar isn't there, I always think to myself, oh, what an absolutely boring character he is. And
yep.
I'm so sick that he's got the Universal title. Wouldn't be bothered if I never saw him again.
Yep.
And then the moment you see him sat on that sofa, you feel starstruck. I don't know what it is about Brock. I don't know whether it's just me that feels this way. Whenever I see Brock Lesnar on TV, I am starstruck. And I feel like it's still in awe of the guy. He doesn't do anything. It's not like he cuts fantastic promos. I think it's just the presence of the guy. I think he's got it. He has become lazy. But even in his laziness, he's still a huge, huge star.
Well, as cliche as it sounds, do you think that's got anything to do with the fact that he's not on TV all the time?
Yeah, it does. I think that the issue is he's got the belt.
Yeah.
So I think if he didn't have the belt and he wasn't on TV all the time, and every time he made a sporadic appearance, you'd feel more justified in being excited about seeing him.
I mean, some might say they've dragged this out a bit too long, and the only reason that people were cheering for Roman Reigns, which they were at the end of this section, is because they've kind of cornered the fans a little bit. They've forced them to dislike Brock Lesnar, kind of robbing them of their championship for so long that they've got no one else to cheer for in this scenario. And it might be slightly lazy booking, because God knows they've been trying to get Roman Reigns over for about 4 years now, and if this is what it takes, fair enough. But what do you think of this direction for this feud?
It was pretty clever booking, really, because even me, I felt like I want Roman. But
yeah.
They missed an absolute trick there, because where was he?
Well,
Send him out. Like, Vince should have been calling that on the fly. God damn it, get him out there.
Yeah.
He should have run out, and they should have had the whole huge brawl breakup thing, and I know we get it all the time, but this would have been a perfect opportunity for that.
It would, and it kind of leads you to believe that maybe Brock's not going to be there for the next few weeks and Roman is. We're going to get the same promos. I really don't know. I kind of felt like the whole last few weeks of Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley was a bit weird anyway, because Bobby beat Roman and then Roman
pointless.
Beat Bobby.
Yeah, absolutely pointless. But yeah. I think they're going to have to be really careful. If, you know, again, I'm not a booker. If it was up to me, I would keep Roman off TV until SummerSlam 2.
That would be a great idea. I mean, we know the times that they've kept people like John Cena off TV, it's made you think, oh, well, we actually do miss him. And when Roman Reigns is kept off TV, you kind of feel the same thing. It's like a void that should, you know, there should be something there.
Yeah. I feel like all they're going to do now is annoy people again. And it's, you know, they actually got to the point on Monday where people wanted Roman Reigns. Now, they've got to be really careful what they do in the next couple of weeks.
I've heard so many people saying that regardless of what happens, SummerSlam comes, people are going to crap all over this match regardless, because it's not something they want to see again. Regardless of whether they're cheering for Roman Reigns or not, they're still going to give this match a hard time. And it kind of needs something to save it. But again, the thing that could save it, obviously Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens cashing in, has already been done before in a match with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And the point of the person cashing in was to make the match more interesting, which again is the point here. So you can't help but think history can only repeat itself. So I have no idea, dude.
Now, would you have preferred Lashley to be taking on this role?
I would. I mean, I think the inevitable path leads to Roman Reigns anyway, because I think they need to kind of do it and just wipe it clean. I think Lashley would have just been a bit of a roadblock for this feud, regardless of whether he would have faced Brock, just kind of like Braun Strowman was a little while ago. So I think all paths lead to Roman Reigns in terms of challenging for the title. I don't like it, but that's where it leads. So let's get on with it, I guess.
I also don't like the whole Braun Strowman having the Money in the Bank briefcase and not going out and kicking Brock Lesnar's ass the first opportunity he had.
Yeah, strange one, man. Strange one. But I guess they're trying to keep him in that box with Kevin Owens at the moment, which is a strange one. Strange little feud.
They're not only messing up Kevin Owens, but they're destroying Braun Strowman in the process too, because the old Braun would have been straight out there. I'm not being Mr. Negative there or anything.
Not at all, no. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But on to something more positive. It's something that this week I feel like needs to be called SmackDown Promo City. Because past few weeks we've had SmackDown, and me and you, we've come away from it saying, awesome wrestling matches. You need to watch SmackDown this week. Great match. You need to watch SmackDown again this week. Another great match. But this week, there wasn't that much wrestling, but there was a hell of a lot of great promoing. So I think the first thing that we got was the whole Daniel Bryan and Miz confrontation, where we've got D-Bry. He's kind of out in the ring and he's saying the Miz is avoiding him basically by doing this whole reality TV Miz and Misses. But we get Miz coming up on the screen and he starts to call Daniel Bryan out. He starts to say, you're always whining, and basically I've carried you for the past 10 years since I was your pro on NXT. And we get a bit of a cheesy moment where Miz brings up a screen full of screaming babies. But this was just classic heel Miz here. What do you think to this, dude?
You know, I don't have huge amounts to say on this. All I want to do is see the match, and they're doing everything right building up towards this, but this must be one of the longest building feuds of all time.
It's crazy, isn't it, the amount that they've actually kind of held back on this one, because both guys have been in different places at different times, but they had to know in the back of their mind that they had a ready-made feud for whenever they wanted it. I mean, they could have done it 10 years ago, but no doubt that both guys are just ready for it. I mean, both guys are like in their prime, I'd say. Would you?
Yeah, I would. If there's one thing I could change about this feud is, you know when they sort of have the coming up thing or whatever, and then they'll have a picture of The Miz and they'll have a picture of Daniel Bryan, for example. The Daniel Bryan picture sucks.
Okay, what is the picture? Remind me.
They use it for absolutely everything whenever they're advertising Daniel Bryan, whether he's on... whether it was talking smack or whatever, they always use the same picture.
Okay.
And he doesn't even look like him. He looks like poorly drawn picture of Jesus.
What you need to do is forward it to me and I will post it on our Instagram a little bit later on so everyone can see, because I have no idea.
It annoys me so much. It doesn't look threatening in the slightest.
There are some pictures on those kind of promo screens where it's like Daniel Bryan versus The Miz that just look ridiculous, and it's not just been these past few years, man. It's happened for ages. There used to be a terrible one of The Undertaker. There used to be a really bad one of Christian. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I remember, and I know what you're talking about here. There was another promo on this show that I absolutely loved, and it was by the guy that I consider to be probably the best promo guy in the WWE at the moment, and that's Samoa Joe. So last week, he attacked AJ Styles, didn't he? It was during like AJ finding out who his number one contender was. Obviously, it was Samoa Joe. He's out this week to say he sent AJ a message last week by attacking him. But despite this, he really respects him and he respects the amount of time that AJ has put into making that title relevant. But what he does say is the fact that AJ spends a lot of time on the road, so he doesn't see his family. So he feels like AJ is a much better champion than he is a father. To which Joe says, AJ's family are going to be cheering for him at SummerSlam because they'll want their dad to come home. Meanwhile, Joe will take the title. I just thought this was a great promo, man. I mean, I can't fault Samoa Joe. I just can't.
Yeah, I think that Joe could just stand there and describe a pile of dog poop and he would get it over.
It'd be a really aggressive dog poop.
Yeah, it's the way he speaks.
Yeah,
I love his promo. He's a throwback, isn't he?
He's got conviction. He reminds me of like people like Harley Race, you know, people that look into the camera with like dead eyes and just tell you what they're gonna do to you. It's crazy.
He's a throwback,
man.
And he's very believable.
I like
Joe, and I can't wait for him to take the title off AJ, and I never thought I'd say I want anyone to take the title off AJ, but if it has to be anyone, it's got to be Joe.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, not much wrestling this week on SmackDown, but we got promos to matches that we cannot wait for. Miz, D-Bry, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, two matches that are just ready, set, and both featuring awesome performers. So I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. I'm loving it.
Awesome, dude. Moving on to the last thing that we enjoyed this week, and it was more NXT, and it kind of follows on from what we were discussing earlier on regarding Tommaso Ciampa as the new champion. So after his huge title win last week against Aleister Black, Ciampa's out to proclaim NXT is his NXT. Give us a bit of a rundown of what happened here, man.
So Ciampa comes out to a chorus of boos. If you look at some of the people in the crowd, there's some really, really aggressive fans towards...
What about the lady? The first lady when he comes around the corner? I thought she was like a plant or something. She's like, we hate you!
it's just like in the match with Gargano, isn't it? Where it was like, you're the devil, Ciampa!
Oh, so good, man.
God, that was brilliant. He's also a throwback. And I've said to you so many times, if this was back in the 80s, I think that Ciampa's life would be in danger.
Yeah.
He's so despised by everyone, and do you know what, I absolutely love it, and I love Ciampa.
How would you not? I mean, he's claiming to be the greatest sports entertainer of all time right now. I mean, it's amazing. He's got something, man.
He makes his way down to the ring and he cuts another promo. He involves Gargano and he involves Aleister Black, and obviously he's downplaying them both, saying that they're both joint second to him, but the gap between them is humongous.
Yep.
And then we get Aleister Black's music play. Aleister Black saunters down to the ring, and running straight past him is Johnny Gargano, who dives into the ring and attacks Ciampa.
I mean, I just thought this was amazing, man. He sent him packing. He starts screaming him out the ring, doesn't he? He's like, I'm the reason you're champion. I'm the reason that you're champion. And you can see all the fans are kind of like thinking, do we cheer Johnny now? Because obviously he is the one that handed over that championship pretty much to Tommaso Ciampa. But what happens, man? What happens? He's screaming, I'm the reason you're champion. It doesn't last for very long, though, does it?
He turns around straight into the big boot of Aleister Black.
I mean, that was a hell of a moment, because you just knew it was coming. You knew Aleister Black was going to be, you know, really riled up regarding the fact that he got cost that championship. And regardless of whether these two are friends, I mean, I don't really think they've either got alliance to each other, but regardless of whether they were, they're not anymore. No. So I don't know. Where do you see this going?
Aleister Black doesn't need friends, does he? Aleister Black isn't the type of character who has friends, I don't
no.
think.
No, that's
he's
true.
He's neither face nor heel. He is just himself, and that's what I like about Aleister. Yeah. Where do I see this going? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. I thought to myself, oh, it's going to be Gargano versus Aleister Black for the number one contender. But Aleister Black's already got a rematch.
Yep, so he certainly has.
Are they going to just insert Gargano in and it's going to be a three-way? Or
there's so many ways that I can see this going.
That wouldn't be fair, would it? That would be similar to a lot of stuff that's happening at the minute, and I don't feel NXT would go down that route.
No, because they're a lot more logical in terms of booking. I do feel like a number one contender match at some point would be great, although, like you said, a rematch is it's kind of owed already. But yeah, keeping Ciampa off TV, off the pay-per-views for a little while wouldn't hurt anything. But yeah, I'm seeing a triple threat in the future. I don't know why, and I don't know how they're going to get there. And I'm damn sure hoping that I'm not going to read about how they get there. But yeah, man, I'm hoping for an interaction between these three guys that just kind of ups the stakes in terms of everything that's happened so far.
Yeah, really, really excited.
Hell yeah, man. So yeah, I thought it was a really good week in wrestling this week. I've got an honorable mention because, as you know, I've been keeping up with the whole G1 that New Japan's currently doing at the moment. And I got to say, it's opened my eyes a little bit to how things can be outside of the WWE and their style of wrestling. Obviously, the G1 tournament is kind of about pure wrestling. So you're watching a lot of matches that don't have a lot of storylines. You're watching it for the pure joy of seeing these guys execute technically sound maneuvers, build up great stories within matches. And I've certainly seen quite a lot of that over the past few weeks. It's something I found quite addictive because I feel like when you do discover something new in wrestling, that's the way it goes. Like, for instance, I know when you found Lucha Underground, you felt a lot of the same. In terms of something new, didn't you?
I did.
So yeah, it's just something I would recommend anyone checking out if they're looking for something new. Maybe try and take a look at what's happening over there in New Japan. You know, there's so many options out there, so awesome.
Yeah, I've got an honourable mention as well. Just a really quick one, just a match for someone to go out and watch. If you get the chance, go and watch the Gift of the Gods Championship match that was on Lucha Underground last week. It was Dragon Azteca Jr. versus King Cuerno versus Desmond X. It's a fantastic one. There's brutal moments. There's amazing high-flying moments. There's a moment where Desmond X jumps from the rafters straight like a dart. It's like he flies through the air. He's like one of the flying foxes. It's amazing how he does it. Lands on Cuerno and Azteca. Yeah, great, great match. Well worth a watch.
Trios News.
Hey folks, and the first bit of news I've got for you is the rumour mill has been running overtime recently in regards to ex-UFC fighter Matt Riddle signing with the WWE. Well, it seems that those rumours have become a reality, as this week he announced that he has indeed signed a contract with the WWE. Whether he'll appear on NXT or he'll go straight to the main roster, I have no idea. And having worked for companies such as Evolve and the UK's Progress Wrestling, Matt Riddle seems more than ready to take that next step up. The second piece of news I've got is concerning the eagerly anticipated All In pay-per-view. Now, we've already had a few matches announced for this one, such as Nick Aldis versus Cody Rhodes for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, but this week we got one more announced, and this one seems pretty action-packed if you ask me. It's Rey Mysterio, Phoenix and Bandido versus the Golden Elite, which is made up of the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. Another phenomenal match made for what is turning out to be one of the most highly anticipated pay-per-views in recent memory. So, keep your eyes peeled for more. Third and finally, World of Sport Wrestling debuted on ITV TV this past weekend, and it was great to see wrestling back on British TV. It featured stars such as Stu Bennett, formerly known as Wade Barrett, and upcoming stars such as Will Ospreay. It was a great showing. We just hope that we'll get to see more of British wrestling on TV as the popularity of this show and indeed British wrestling grows.
A mark in history. Get it?
Hey, Welcome back. It's your good pal Sam again. And this is the part of the show called A Mark in History. This is where we jump into the IIRY time machine and take the old back to a point that happened this week in history. SummerSlam 1997. It was Austin versus Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship. An added stipulation in this match was that Austin would have to kiss Owen Hart's buttocks if he lost. At one point during this match, Owen Hart miscalculated while executing a pile driver on Austin. And dropped Austin right on his head. This resulted in a broken neck and temporary paralysis for Austin. If you want to know how this felt, there are plenty of shoot interviews out there you can find on the web where Austin describes this sensation and the way he felt after he'd been dropped directly on his head by Owen Hart. The true professional he is, Owen Hart stalled by riling up the audience. This gave Austin enough time for a slight recovery. He then managed to crawl over and pin Owen Hart using a simple roll-up to win the Intercontinental Championship. Although, thinking about it, I'm pretty sure that anything done with a broken neck is not that simple. If you go back and watch this, you can see Austin is visibly injured and dazed. He was helped to his feet by referees and he was guided backstage. He couldn't actually, you know, find himself the strength or energy to stand up straight and walk back. While all this was going on, he didn't actually know he'd broken his neck. I think he knew that something was pretty bad though. After finding out the severity of the injury, Austin had to relinquish the Intercontinental title and also the tag team title who he shared at the time with Dude Love. After talking about all this, you may think, wrestlers have injuries all the time. We know Steve was alright, don't we? Yeah, we know he was alright. What the hell are you babbling on about, Sam? Well, I'll tell you. If you watch Stone Cold Steve Austin before this injury, and then you watch him after this injury, you'll see almost two unrecognisable athletes. Yeah, they both wear black trunks, black boots, both have a shiny bald head, little goatee, really sweet waistcoat with a skull on the back. Oh yes. But you'll see two completely different wrestling styles. Now Austin was trained back in the 80s by a former wrestler named Chris Adams. He was trained in a very technical style. He was more Iceman Dean Malenko than Stone Cold Steve Austin. Due to the injury, Steve's movements became really limited and he was told by many that he would never wrestle again. He could no longer go back to being an in-ring performer. Well, this was true in part. He couldn't go back to being the technical ringmaster he once was. Pun intended. However, he became an out-and-out brawler, and I think we can all agree that this horrific injury, although it did shorten Austin's career in the long term, also cemented a huge mark in history for the now bionic redneck. Austin became the wrestler that we know him for now. The brawler, the fighter, the guy who gives absolutely no... You know what I'm talking about. Later that year, just into the September, he began a feud with Mr. McMahon. And the rest, as they say, is history. So go on, go back and watch the match. You might cringe at the botch like I did. You know, I've seen that botch so many times, every time I watch it, I go, yeah! But you'll be able to see two complete pros in Owen Hart and Steve Austin finish a match the way it was intended, even if it was via a roll-up. Do you have anything to say on this situation, Daniel?
What?
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the most over segment.
Over like Rover. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
So each week, Sam and I give you two wrestlers that we thought were the most over that week. So who have you got, dude?
This week, I have got somebody who I feel is very, very special.
Okay.
And he's not the greatest. He's not the greatest in-ring performer of all time.
Yeah, I'm interested.
But to me, he's one of the greatest out-of-ring and in-ring performers in a non-wrestling way.
I'm so curious.
If that makes any sense.
Okay, tell it to me.
And he has been on national TV this week.
Okay.
And it's Grado.
Okay, Grado, man. I knew you were going there. Talk to me.
And Grado's been over with me for quite a long time, since I've seen little clips from ICW. And a few years back, he did the TNA British Boot Camp. And he was the main feature on that, really. The whole entrance, the Madonna theme tune, just everything about Grado is brilliant. He knows how to get a crowd going. He is a comedy wrestler, but at the same time, he does have some... He reminds me of Kevin Owens with his in-ring style, really.
In terms of like being a comedy wrestler, though, that never hurt anybody. I mean, he can still go.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I mean. He reminds me of a British version of Kevin Owens. He's not as technical. He's not as perfected as Owens. But style-wise and comedy-wise, very, very similar guys. But yeah, it's got to be the entrance for me. And I just really wish that Madonna would get on the phone and allow him to use the song whilst he's on ITV as well. It'd be great.
I honestly think, dude, if he ever makes it to WWE, he's getting a live Madonna performance at WrestleMania. That's what's going to happen.
That'd be awesome.
It would, man. Awesome pick. Really great pick, especially for the British scene. Another one from the British scene who's kind of gone a bit further afield as well, that I've picked this week for my most over, is Zack Sabre Jr. Now, I was aware of him, I think he was in the Cruiserweight Classic? And we saw some kind of flashes of what he can do. He's very technical in the British style of wrestling, but I've been watching him a lot in this G1 Climax tournament. And I've got to say, the guy's amazing. I mean, he really knows his psychology in the ring. He's got a lot of aggression as well for someone his size. And he comes across as just a really, like, cocky British guy that just wants to kind of beat you up and you know, make you suffer. And I really like that. It feels fresh. And I know he's been doing it for a while, but I've just discovered him. So he's my most over this week. Okay, so that's our most over this week. Don't forget, you can vote for these two, and you can vote over on Twitter. That's twitter.com/IIOY podcast. Or you can vote on Instagram, and that is instagram.com/isitoveryetpod. All right, folks, this has been another awesome episode of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast. It's been awesome to have you back with me, dude. You enjoyed this one?
I always enjoy doing this podcast with you, my friend.
Thank you very much, man. I feel exactly the same. And hopefully all of our lovely listeners will join us again next week for an excellent episode of the Is It Over Yet Wrestling podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media sites. And please check out Win Column Sports Network. Okay, take it easy, ladies and gents.
Bye.